All right. Let's imagine a situation you might run into as a lawyer. You've got a general contractor, right? And they just snagged a massive school construction project, all because a subcontractor gave them a crazy low bid for the paving work. They're probably feeling pretty good about it all. But then the phone rings and it's that subcontractor, and they've got some not so good news. They tell the contractor, "We kind of messed up the numbers. Our bid's actually off by thousands of dollars." So now what? Is that general contractor stuck? Do they have to honor that initial super low bid?
Oh man, that's a really good question, and it goes straight to a really important legal case from 1958, Drennan v. Starr Paving Co. This case honestly changed how the entire construction industry thinks about bids.
Okay, so let's break down Drennan. We've got Drennan, our general contractor, trying to win the bid for a school construction project. Starr Paving, the subcontractor, gives him a bid for the paving. And guess what?
Yeah, it's the lowest bid by far.
So Drennan sees this great opportunity, and he uses Starr Paving's bid to calculate his overall bid for the project, submits it, and yep, he wins the contract. School's happy, Drennan's happy, everything's getting right.
Well, not so fast.
Okay, so the next day, Drennan goes over to Starr Paving, all ready to make things official, accept their bid, and get the project rolling.
This is where things get really interesting. Starr Paving basically drops a bomb on him. They say, "Hey, we made a big mistake in our calculations. To do this job, we're going to need a lot more money."
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Drennan must feel blindsided. He's already committed to the school based on his bid, which, you know, used Starr Paving's price. Could Starr Paving even do that? Just back out? Was their bid legally binding, even though there was no signed contract yet?
That is the exact question that went to the courts, and it brings us to promissory estoppel. It's this legal idea that a promise can sometimes be enforced even if there's no traditional contract.
So Drennan sued them for breach of contract, right? Saying he relied on their bid and would be harmed if they backed out. What did the court consider when making its decision?
They really focused on three things. First, could Starr Paving have reasonably expected that Drennan would rely on their bid when he was making his own bid for the school? Second, did Drennan actually rely on the bid? Did he rely on it in a way that would cause real problems if the bid was revoked? And last, would it be unfair to let Starr Paving just back out?
They were trying to see if Starr Paving knew their bid was a serious matter and if Drennan was in trouble because of what they did.
Yeah, and in the end, the court said yes to all of those questions. Starr Paving should have expected Drennan to rely on their bid. Drennan's reliance was a big deal, and it would be unfair to let Starr Paving off the hook. This case was huge. Drennan set a major precedent for a promissory estoppel with construction bids. It basically created a safety net for general contractors, you know, protecting them from subcontractors who try to back out after the main contract's been awarded.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Imagine the chaos if subcontractors could just revoke bids whenever they wanted. The whole system would fall apart.
Exactly. Drennan showed that traditional contract law, you know, with its focus on offer, acceptance, and consideration, doesn't always reflect how business is actually done.
So there's more to it than a signed contract. In industries like construction, there's this understanding, this reliance on each other's word, even before a formal contract exists.
Right. The court in Drennan realized that in fast-paced industries, a lot depends on good faith and, you know, established practices. They saw that if subcontractors could just casually revoke bids, it would hurt general contractors who depend on those bids to win projects and to commit to prices.
Timing seems crucial in situations like this. If Starr Paving had caught their mistake and said something before Drennan submitted his bid to the school, maybe things would have gone differently.
Absolutely. Timing is key in these types of cases. The fact that Starr Paving waited until after Drennan won the school contract, before they tried to revoke their bid, that played a huge role in the court's decision. It put Drennan in a tough spot. He was legally obligated to finish the project at the price he bid.
So Drennan established this precedent that holds subcontractors accountable for their bids under certain circumstances, even without a formal contract. But does this mean all subcontractor bids are set in stone now? What if there's a genuine mistake?
That's a great question. And like a lot of things in law, the answer is it depends. Drennan didn't create a hard and fast rule. It all goes back to those three key factors we talked about: foreseeable reliance, definite and substantial reliance, and, you know, avoiding injustice.
How does a court determine if reliance was foreseeable? So does that mean every bid a subcontractor sends out is legally binding?
Well, let's think about it practically. It's common practice in construction. General contractors use subcontractor bids to figure out their own bids. It's an industry norm. So when a subcontractor submits a bid, they should expect a general contractor to use it in their calculations and potentially win a project based on those numbers.
So it's an unspoken rule in the industry, right?
Yeah, and when we talk about the general contractor's reliance being definite and substantial, it has to be more than just a quick look at a bid. It needs to be clear and significant. In Drennan, he won the school contract specifically because of Star Paving's low bid. It would have been a big problem if they'd backed out.
So he was stuck. It wasn't just about Star Paving messing up. It was about the impact of that mistake on Drennan and his ability to meet his commitments to the school.
Exactly. Drennan shows how important clear communication is and taking action quickly. Both general contractors and subcontractors need to understand what their actions could lead to and how those actions affect the other side. It's a reminder that bids in construction aren't just suggestions. They can have serious legal consequences, even without a signed contract.
To avoid these situations, the construction industry uses bid bonds, right? They're kind of like insurance for the general contractor to make sure the subcontractor will honor their bid.
Yeah, bid bonds give some security. They help lower the risks that come with relying on bids for these huge projects. It's a way to balance flexibility when negotiating with the certainty needed when you're building something.
I imagine there are still disagreements, even with bid bonds and this whole Drennan precedent. Sometimes courts must have to get involved and weigh everyone's interests. It sounds like there's no easy answer.
You're right. It's not a simple yes or no. Drennan actually caused a lot of discussion among legal experts. Some people thought the situation with Star Paving could have been handled differently. Maybe it was just an honest mistake on their part.
That's interesting. If Star Paving really messed up their calculations that badly, shouldn't they have been able to fix it?
Yeah.
It seems a little unfair to hold them to a bid that was clearly a mistake.
The court did consider that. They looked at the difference between a simple mistake and a situation where someone's actions make another person rely on them. Remember, Star Paving had the chance to check their bid before sending it. They also waited until Drennan was already bound by the school contract before mentioning the issue. That timing really made the court decide to enforce the bid.
So it wasn't just the mistake itself, but the context and how it affected Drennan's position. Star Paving's timing really put them in a tough spot.
Exactly. The court was trying to be fair. They wanted to protect general contractors from being exploited, but they also knew businesses need some wiggle room when negotiating.
It's like they were trying to stop subcontractors from using bids to manipulate the system. Like, what if a subcontractor revoked a low bid on purpose, just to get a better price once the general contractor's already committed?
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. Drennan made it clear that those tricks wouldn't work. But Drennan isn't a universal rule. It's not like every bid is automatically legally binding. There are other cases that add more detail to this idea of promissory estoppel.
Oh, like what?
Well, there's a case, Corbindak's Electrocomey Burr, where things went a bit differently. A general contractor wanted to enforce a subcontractor's bid using promissory estoppel. But there was a big difference. The general contractor didn't actually have the main contract yet. They were still in the bidding process.
So the reliance wasn't as strong because they weren't locked into a contract yet. They still had options like finding another subcontractor.
Right. The court in Corbindak said it wouldn't be fair to make the subcontractor stick to their bid in that situation because the general contractor could still look for better prices or even back out of the bidding themselves.
So Drennan isn't a one-size-fits-all rule. The details of each situation really matter. I bet there are even differences from state to state.
Oh, absolutely. The law can be a bit of a mix. Some states have firm offer laws from the Uniform Commercial Code, while others rely on case law like Drennan. It's an area of law that's always changing.
So for any lawyers and law students listening, what's the big takeaway from Drennan? What's important to remember when working with bids and contracts?
I think the main thing is this. Drennan shows how important it is to understand the context and what might happen because of your actions in business negotiations, especially when it comes to bids. Always think about foreseeable reliance, the possibility of harm, and how important clear communication and quick action are.
It also reminds us that the law isn't always clear-cut. Drennan falls into this interesting gray area, where courts try to balance competing interests and figure out how to apply legal principles to complex, real-world industries.
Right. Cases like this make us think about how the law can promote fairness and ethical behavior in business. It's not just about winning or losing a case, but about creating a system where people can trust each other's word and where commitments are meaningful.
That's a great point to end on. Drennan v. Star Paving is still a landmark case, It had a big impact on the construction industry and raises important legal questions about promissory estoppel and how the law adapts to a changing world. So the next time you're writing a contract, reviewing a bid, or helping a client with a tough negotiation, remember Drennan. It might give you a new perspective and help you navigate those tricky legal waters.